Amen. Welcome to the Sunday evening service. Good to see you tonight. Just a few want to remind you to pray for. Pray for Justin Landers, his family, and they've been invaded with COVID, so pray for them. Pray for William. He's getting better, and now mom's feeling kind of puny. So pray for both of them, if you would, that they'd all get okay and be able to be back operational again real quickly. Pray for Brother Minyard. I mentioned this morning he wasn't feeling well, wasn't able to be here. The one I didn't mention and ask you to pray for was Brother Mudd, and he's here tonight, all right?
Amen.
So maybe we ought not to pray for those other ones, you know? No, I think we should pray for them, but pray for Lance's family, if you would. They've got been exposed to COVID. Pray they'll not get it, but that's why they're are taking a few days off of quarantine, so pray for them if you would, and I know they'd appreciate it. There's some things coming up, all right? I want to give you an advance warning. Tomorrow evening, ladies' fellowship, 7 o'clock. Hey, ladies, come. Don't skip that. Boy, how important it is we have good fellowship, all right? Just take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. Then on September the 12th, there'll be Roundup Sunday here at church. Want to encourage you to look for people, recruit people to come with you, start twisting arms, you know, whatever you got to do. But do everything you can to get somebody to come with you that Sunday. And we'll be having, as usual, have chili and beans and cornbread and just a good Roundup meal, okay? So remind you about it. There's a paper back there on the desk in the foyer to sign up if you'll bring chili or cornbread and beans, all right? So there's a place for you to sign up. If you would, sign up for that, and that'll be a help. You going to make your famous cornbread? All right, so Brother Mary and his, what do you call this stuff? That jalapeno cornbread or?
Mexican cornbread,
all right. So Mary and bring that. That'll be good. And but all of you, get involved, you know.
Amen.
Let's be here on that day and have a good time. And then on the ladies' fellow retreat will be the 25th, all right? Ladies' retreat will be the 25th, so you need to be planning for that. And that's on a Saturday. It's free, and they just take up an offering. So I'll let you know about that. Then let's project a little further into the year. October the 4th, 5th, and 6th. October the 4th, 5th, and 6th is the Great Southwest Bible Conference over at Trinity Baptist Church. They've got several preachers. One's going to be there, Brother Joe Arthur. I like to hear Brother Joe Arthur preach, all right? And he's going to be there, Brother from up at Brother Gomez, Brother Keith Gomez from Elgin, Illinois. He's going to be there. I like to hear him. He's a Cajun preacher, and I like to hear him preach. So looking forward to that. And others, just, you know, put it on your calendar. And just if you can, go. It'll be a blessing. And those kind of things are good. They have a big combined choir. If you'd like to get involved in the choir, they have two practices before, all right? They invite other churches to come and send people. So if you like to sing, you get involved in that. Then December, I want you to mark this down. I want you to begin to pray for it. Two Sundays in December. One's the 19th. The 19th of December. We're going to do something we've done in the past, haven't done in years. We're going to have Christmas for a missionary.
Amen.
And the missionary we're going to bless that day is one of our own. And it's Brother Nathan Patterson and his family. And I'm just looking forward to that. We'll be telling you more about it as it comes up. The Sunday before that, December the 12th, is the 70th anniversary of First Baptist Church, Haltom City. All right? Now, it started as a Baptist temple over on the north side of Fort Worth, and it moved to 1800 Terminal Road, became Terminal Baptist Church, and that's what it was when I moved here, and Dad became the pastor, and then we moved out here and changed the name to what it is now. But so we'll be celebrating that 70th anniversary, all right? And all of those things, just keep in mind. But between now and then, we're going to have Sunday night services, we're going to have Sunday morning services, we're going to have Wednesday night services, we're going to have soul winning on Thursday, all right? And let me encourage you to get involved. If you cannot come on those times, like sowing, if you can go, you can go anytime, all right? If you can't, if you're bashful or whatever, brother, see Brother Dunbar. He can fix you up with some packets. They've got a hole in them. You can hang them on the doorknob and just put them, they're door hangers. You can take them out, pass them out. See him. He can give you an area. You know, we want to keep track. We don't want to overlap. We don't want 15 to land on somebody's porch. So, we'd like to get this area covered. And we've got them. They're available. All we need is somebody to say, I'll walk. Say, well, I like to walk. Good. Carry a handful of them, walk up and put them on the door, you know. If somebody's standing out there, you say, what do? You slap them with, no, I was just kidding. You say, hey, we want to give you a gift from our church.
Amen.
Just want to give you a gift from our church, all right? It's got tracks in it. It's got a John Romans. It's got some other things there that just to be a blessing. And those things, we'd like to cover the area, all right?
Amen.
So if you'll help out, it'll be a blessing. Very simple thing to do. Very easy thing to do if you could help get involved on that, all right? Okay, wonderful. Man, it's Sunday evening. Let's take up the offering, okay? Ushers, if you'll come. Yes, sir, Brother Bud. Yes. Okay. Amen, most definitely. Pray for Daniel Bradley. He is fighting fires in California. By the way, pray for Brother Dave Bradley. We've asked you to do it before. Put him on your prayer list. He's going to Rome, as he's done many years, and he spent several weeks over there trying to be a witness and passing out tracts and just trying to let God use him. He has a great burden for those folks. So pray for him, would you? Pray for him that God would just take care of him, all right, and bless the work, put him in front of the right person that needs the gospel and that'll hear it and be saved. Brother Pope, can you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen.
Evening. Let's stand together once again. Turn over to number 118. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, the sweet by and by. Everyone together. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. Sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessings of rest. In the sweet by and by we shall meet on that beautiful shore, in the sweet you know Brother Marion likes to change things up and redo, so this time we sing the chorus. Instead of "In the Sweet By and By," let's sing it "I Believe." Jesus saves and his blood washes whiter than snow. On the chorus, the last. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of his love and the blessings that hallow our day. I believe Jesus saved, and his blood washes whiter than snow. I believe Jesus saves, and his blood washes whiter than snow.
All right, thank you. You may be seated. Open your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22. Man, you picked a good night to come to church. Just want to encourage you. Just want to remind you, okay, about some truths. Not going to say anything tonight. You're going to say, I never knew that. Nothing like that's going to be said. But I remind you about some things. Listen, I think it needs to be reminded. And I'll say why before we get through tonight. But, hey, by the way, let me just throw this out. We do have three men that come to church that are, they're truck driving over the road, okay? Mr. Lopez was here this morning. He drives a truck, but he's always home on the weekends. But we've got three guys, Brother Charles and Brother Isidro, okay, and Brother Pike here. They drive over the road. That's what they're doing now. I want you to pray for them, okay? I want you to pray for them. Pray God put his hand of protection on them and that they'll be able to drive and be in safety, you know. And Brother Pike, he goes and he posts pictures from up in Montana. And it really kind of irritates me because I think, man, what a place to be, that beautiful scenery, you know, and just beautiful up there. And he came back this morning. He said, man, the pictures don't do it justice. I said, yeah, I understand that. Been there. I know what you're talking about. But I do enjoy your pictures, all right? So. I'm glad you post them, but it does put a little jealousy in my heart. So I wish I was there with you. Yeah, well, amen, amen. Well, we can discuss Texas and why we live here, all right? There is a wonderful reason. All right, you got your Bible open, 2 Kings 22. Look at in verse 8. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it in the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. We're going to leave off reading there. I want to preach to you tonight on I Found the Book, all right? I found the book. Now, this event that occurred here in 2 Kings 22 occurred during the reign of Josiah. Josiah reigned for a total of 31 years in Jerusalem, all right? He came to the throne when he was only 8 years old, all right? He got to the throne at a very young age, but he followed two kings who reigned for a total of 57 years. And the Bible says of them that they did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And it says they walked not in the way of the Lord. Now I want to tell you something. When you have 57 years of that kind of ruling and that kind of leadership, you've got a country that's in trouble, okay? You've got a land that's in trouble. Well, Josiah came to the throne after those 57 years, and 18 years after he took the throne. So now you're doing the math and being brilliant. You know he was 26 when these events happened, all right, or about that time, about 26 years old. And the Bible tells us early in this chapter that work was being done to repair the breaches of the house of the Lord. Hey, when you've got a king that does that which is evil, all right, in the sight of the Lord, and a king that walks not in the way of the Lord, the house of God's not going to be taken care of. House of God's not going to be taken care of. So that was the case. So they're doing some work there, and during that work, the Bible tells us that Hilkiah found the book of the law. Amen. Found the book of the law. Now just think about it. That tells me God's book had been lost for a while. It had been lost for a while. Now, it was findable, but undoubtedly nobody was looking for it. Now, that tells you something about the spiritual condition of the land, all right? Now, the Bible does not say he had found some book or he had found a book. The Bible says he had found the book. The book, all right? And it was the book that was needed by those folks then. Hey, it's the book that's still needed today, all right? It's the book that's still needed today. Very, very simple. You say, now, which book is that? Number one, it's the book God wrote. It is the book that God wrote. I've got a book in my library. It was written by a guy by the name of J.J. Ray, and the title of it is God Wrote Only One Book. God wrote only one book, and that is true. God only wrote one book, all right? Now, there's a lot of books out there today that claim to be the book of the law of God, but it's amazing how much disagreement there is amongst those books, all right? I'll just tell you, it's no secret, and you know it, but I won't repeat it. I believe that book is the King James Bible, all right? Now, I know we live in a day folks make fun of us for standing on this old book. I know that. I've got kinfolks that make fun of me. Let them go ahead. I will see how it goes when we stand before God one day. And we'll see, you know, if I'm wrong and God whips me, I'll take the whipping, okay? But I don't believe I'm wrong on this, all right? But they do make fun of us. And hey, the reason that we stick with this book that was found is because the others came from a corrupt text, all right? It is not simply the fact that we're in love with the these and thous of the King James Bible. However, there's nothing wrong with the these and the thous of the King James Bible. There's nothing wrong with the language of it. It is not Old English. That is repeated many times. It's not Old English, okay? It was really translated when the English language was really at its peak. And it was translated by a group of scholars that you could probably, if you took all the Bible scholars and the experts in languages today, you couldn't get a group of men as educated and as prepared as that group was in the early 1600s, okay, that gave us this King James Bible. It's a book, all right? It's the book he wrote. And I just want to remind you, the book he wrote is the inspired word of God. It is the inspired word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. If this book's not inspired, we have no scripture. We have no scripture. I believe God gave it to us. I believe it's scripture. I believe it's inspired. I believe it's inerrant. There's not a mistake in it. There's no errors at all. I believe it is infallible. You and I, we can trust it, okay? You can trust this book. You don't have to apologize for it. You don't have to apologize for believing it. None of that kind of thing. Boy, the book that they found was the book God wrote. And that's the book I'm preaching to you out of tonight, okay? It is the book God wrote. I'll tell you something else about it. It's the book God uses. It is the book God uses. Look in 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 3, would you? 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 3. The Bible said, and the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. Now, we're still talking about the book they found in the house of God, all right? And all the people stood to the covenant. All the people. Can I just read that verse again? Would you really listen and think about and see what it says? He stood by a pillar. He made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep His commandments and His testimonies and His statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book, and all the people stood to the covenant. Hey, you said, what happened? I'm telling you, God sent revival. That's what happened. That's what happened. God sent revival. If we took the time tonight to read through chapter 23 and all of chapter 22, you'd find revival breaking out in the country of Israel. Why? Because they took the book of God, and it's the book God uses. God uses His book. He has promised that His word is not going to return void. All right? Sometimes we, when we witness, and I'm guilty. When we witness, we think, okay, I'm fixing to witness to a Muslim, and I need a game plan. I need an approach. No, you just need to give them the word of God. Amen. Need to give them the word of God. Well, I'm witnessing here to a Seventh-day Adventist. You just need to give them the word of God. We worry too much about having a plan. We worry too much about our approach. We worry too much about our argument. God never promised to bless any of that. But He did promise to bless His word. And man, when we're out witnessing, just try to give people the word of God. Look, that's why I encourage you, memorize all the Bible you can. Memorize all the Bible you can. Sometimes people will not let you open the Bible. If you said, could I open the Bible and show you? I don't really have enough time, you know. But they'll talk. They'll stand there and talk to you if you'll keep talking. But they won't if you try to open the Bible and I'm too busy, I'm too big, I don't have time. But if you'll stand there and talk to them. And man, try to memorize as much of the Word of God as you can and quote it to them. Hey, if you only know Jesus wept, quote it to them. And talk to them about why He wept. All right? Talk to him about why he wept. Don't be afraid of it. If all he knows is John 3:16, quote him John 3:16. Just quote him the scripture. Quote him the scripture. Look, God said my word will not return to me void. It is amazing that person you quote scripture to might tell you to hit the trail, but boy, when they go home and they're stretched out maybe in their bed at night or they're somewhere else, God brings that word back to them. And He begins to take that book and drill it into their heart and into their mind and produce a work and a change that only the Word of God can produce. I'm saying to you, it's the book that God uses, all right? It's this book that'll draw us closer to God. It's this book. Man, if we'll just stay with it, all right? It's this book that'll cause us to seek His will. It's amazing. You begin to read this book, you begin to care about things of God. You begin to care about the things of God. You begin to get concerned about, am I in the will of God? All right? You read this book, it'll help correct our ways. Because you'll find out, man, here I am, and about, boy, what I'm doing, it's wrong. I need to straighten up. That's what happened here in chapter 22 and chapter 23. Man, that book began to be read. You read there in verse 11, it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes, all right? Man, it moved him. It did a work in his heart. Hey, it's this book that God uses, all right? It's this book that God uses. That's why when we gather together, we're going to have somebody open the Bible and preach you a message out of the book of the law of God, all right? Somebody's going to preach you from the Word of God. That's why when we gather in Sunday school, hey, we open the Bible and we teach the Bible. We teach the Bible. Man, I've been in Sunday school all my life. All my life. I mean, several of you, same way. You grew up in church. You grew up in Sunday school. You've been coming, man, I know the Sunday school songs. There's a ton of them that, you know, I sing and I know them. And I grew up knowing those songs and I'm glad I did, and I knew the stories from the Word of God. Boy, that's a good thing. It did something for me, okay? It helped me. I'll be honest with you. I think it's that's training early on that began to put me in a direction that says, you know, I just want to do what's right. I just want to do what's right. We live in a day where everybody thinks, well, you just might as well expect teenagers to rebel. I don't buy that. I don't believe that. I don't believe we'll do it. If we'd spend more time, we'd be more careful about what we do. We put something in the heart of young people and boys and girls that just want to do what's right. Just want to do what's right. I'm glad when I grew up. Now, Superman was on TV, okay? I watched Superman on TV. And when I grew up as a kid, I read Superman comic book once in a while, all right? Familiar with them. But I'm glad that wasn't my heroes. I'm just glad that wasn't. I wasn't inundated with that stuff. My hero was people in the Bible. Joseph. Daniel. And three Hebrew boys. Man, those were heroes. Elijah. Standing in front of the prophets of Baal and challenging them the way he did. I'm so glad I had a Sunday school teacher that made that real. Made that real to me. And I challenge you that teach Sunday school. Don't you ever underestimate what you're doing. Don't you ever underestimate what you're doing. Man alive, if this book was preached more, we'd see more of a move of God. We'd see more of a move of God. But because it's not, and we've swapped it out, we live in a land of great mega churches, but our land is headed in the wrong direction. Headed in the wrong direction, all right? Why? They have the wrong book. They have the wrong book, all right? Man, God uses this book. He uses it to clean up the lives and the hearts of people. This book has changed the lives of countless folks down through the centuries. Man, who knows how many lives have been changed. You begin to read about those who were martyred for the cause of Christ because this book was put into them. This book was put into them. Hey, there's a good chance right today in Afghanistan that Christians are dying. Because they believe this book. They believe this book. And it was got into them. Hey, this book has rescued the drunk. It's reformed the derelict. Think what it's done for you, all right? Think what it's done for you. Hey, when we're talking about I found the book that God wrote, and I found the book God uses. I'm so glad I did. But not only that, it's the book that blesses a nation. It is the book that blesses a nation. Hey, it brought blessings upon our land. It brought blessings upon our land. The preaching of this book, the preaching of the Word of God in the United States made the United States the most unique land in the world. The most unique land in the world. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I am not preaching to you that American people are better than anybody else in this world. But I mean, God has blessed us and He gave us the most unique place in the world, all right? We were given freedom unlike anybody had ever heard of. When this nation was founded and freedom was offered, nobody else in the world had an idea what freedom was. And every one of those people, those early leaders, You read what they said about the Word of God. Read what they said about the Word of God. Hey, they might not have been fundamental independent Baptists, but they believe the Bible. They believe the Bible. And even the ones that get castigated today as deists and not Christians, I read some of the stuff they wrote, and I think they believe the Bible more than some Christians do today, all right? I just, it's some of the things they said, all right? And God blessed it and moved this land to be the greatest power in the world, all right? Why? Because the Bible says in Psalms 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Amen. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. When this book is exalted, God's exalted. God is exalted. Hey, this book they found is the book that's going to stand forever. Forever. I want you to do something for me, okay? Need everybody's help. all of you over here on this side, I want you to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 24, okay? Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. You with me? Everybody on this side, Matthew 24, verse 35. Hang on to it. All of you here in the center, I want you to open your Bible to Mark chapter 13, verse 31. Mark chapter 13, verse 31. Okay? Those over here on this side, Luke chapter 21, verse 33. All right? Over here, on my right, Luke 21, 33. You folks in the center, Mark chapter 13, verse 31. You folks over here on my left, Matthew 24, 35. Well, wait, everybody there? All right, we're going to read in unison. You say, wait a minute, preacher, you reading out three books. Well, we're going to read in unison, all right? Here we are. Here we go. Ready? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The exact same verse, exact same words, three times God had them recorded in the Bible. I'm going to be honest with you, you don't find that very many times. You don't find it recorded that way very many times. But God recorded those words, and he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You can mark it down. This book's going to stand forever. It is going to stand forever. It has stood the test of time up until now. Man, a lot of science, so-called, is geared against the Bible. Man, it is geared against the Bible. And the Bible is, you know, belittled and say, well, it's not a book of science. And it's not. But it is scientifically accurate. It's scientifically accurate. You can put it down, all right? When the Bible said God sitteth on the circle of the earth, it means the earth is a circle. That means it's round, okay? And sure enough, it is. It is, all right? It is round. You can count on that, all right? All the things, when the Bible said the life of the flesh is in the blood, that's where the life of the flesh is. Drain your blood out. See what happens. Well, you'll lose consciousness before it happens, all right? But you won't be here any longer. Hey, you can't do it. Why? The life of the flesh is in the blood. It's in the blood. God had the Israelis. He taught them early on when you're dealing with things. He said you want to be clean, you wash your hands under running water. You do that. Hey, they didn't do that in the United States during the Civil War. That's why so many soldiers died in the Civil War. They weren't killed on the battlefield. They died after they were wounded because infection killed them. Man, the surgeon, he'd wash his hands in this water, do surgery, come back the same water and wash his hands over and over again. They didn't know anything about it. But those Israeli people, that's why during some of the plagues, a lot of people in the world, they blame like the bubonic plague, they'd blame it on the Jews, you know. Because it didn't seem to affect them as much as it did a non-Jewish people. That's because those Jews had a book. It's because those Jews had a book that wasn't a book of science, but it was scientifically accurate. It laid it down, all right? And we just go on and on and on. It is a book that's going to last forever. Now, it's hated by the devil. Oh, man, the devil hates this book with a passion. He fights it. He opposes it at every turn. He's tried his best to destroy it. He's still trying. Still trying. But he's not going to succeed. He's not going to succeed, all right? It is going to last. Hey, let me say something else about this book he found. Hey, it is the book that is to govern God's people. It is the book that is to govern God's people. Go back to 2 Kings, all right? 2 Kings chapter 22, all right? I want you to look. I want you to look at a verse in verse 13, 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 13. We'll read this whole verse, all right? But 2 Kings 22, verse 13. The Bible said, go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book. Now notice, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. Us. This book's written to us. All right, it's written to us. It's written to help us, all right? Written to help us. It's written for a purpose. That this book is to govern God's people. You say, what do you mean? I mean by that, we're to live by this book. We're to live by this book. It's to govern all of our relations. All of our relations. Any kind of relationship you can be in, this book is to govern it. Marriage relationship, this book. This book is to govern that. Friendship, this book is to govern that. Business, this book is to govern our business relations. Government type situation, this book is to govern our relationship. This book is to govern our relationship with everybody. Your neighbor next door, across the street, this book is to govern our life, okay? It is the foundation. It helps us to govern us so we know how to interact with other people. We do it. Friendships, all right? Your enemies. So what do you mean? Well, this book tells you who ought to be your enemy, all right? It governs our relations. Not only that, it governs our actions. All of our actions be governed by this book. Everything we do is to be in accordance with what the Bible says. Everything we do. Now, the Bible doesn't just govern what we do inside the walls of a building we call a church. You know, some people are so messed up. Well, it only applies on Sunday when I go to church. No, it is to supply and govern all the actions that we are involved in. Anything we do. I mean, every bit of it. Our leisure time, governed by this book. Our work, governed by this book. Our work, all right? Our recreation, governed by this book. Anything, everything. All of our actions, governed by this book. We're accountable to what God says to us here, all right? That what He says, the words of this book, we're accountable. This, all right, governs all of our actions, everything that we do, the way we treat our family members, okay? The way we treat our family members, the way we treat our enemies, the way we treat them. It's governed by this book, governed by this book, all of our actions. You can't find anything that the Bible doesn't tell you how you ought to take care of it, okay? By the way, all of our beliefs, everything we believe ought to come from this book. Everything that we believe ought to come from this book. Everything. As a church, we operate based on what the Bible says. All of our beliefs, okay? All of our beliefs. Just everything that our practice, everything we believe, right here, right here. I'm not going to get up here and preach to you folks. The flying saucers are coming for us, and that you can count on. I'm not going to preach that to you, okay? I'm not going to do that. We're just going to preach the book, what we believe is in the Bible. Somebody said, preacher, what do you believe? Here it is. Here it is. This is the manual for what I believe. That's it, right here. It's not found anywhere else. It's found in the Bible. And we have, church covenants. We have a church, bylaws and that kind of thing. And we kind of enumerate real short order our beliefs. But that's just a real quick, short overview. Really what we believe is the Bible. We believe the Bible, all right? Now, I've said all of that to say this. Everything that I've said means absolutely nothing if we ignore this book. Hey, for 57 years and more, this book was ignored in the land of Israel. It was lost. And nobody seemed to care enough to want to even look for it. That's the thing really burdens me, all right? No, nobody even, and seemingly nobody said, you know, we ought to look for that book. We need to look for that book. Instead, Shaping, he comes along, all right, and Shaping the scribe comes up and says, hey, I found the book. Were you looking for it? I don't know. But he found it. He said, I found this book. Let me read to you out of it. He read a little bit to the king. The king rent his clothes. Why? Because he realized, boy, what we've ignored for all these years, we're accountable to God for it. He just walked away from what he said. Hey, everything I've said to you, God uses the book. God wrote the book, all right? The book blesses a nation. It's the book stand forever. It's the book that governs God's people. It doesn't mean a cotton-picking thing if you and I are going to ignore what this book says. I said, preacher, we never do that. Wait a minute. Yeah, we do. Yes, we do. The reason I'm preaching this message tonight is a reminder. Let's don't get away from the book. Let's not get away from the book. Hey, there's a lot of places tonight that you could go to, and it's got the word church out front. They're not having a service, though. They're not having a service. They may have had one this morning. But very little of what was said came out of the book, if anything. Very little. Hey, we live in a day where people that claim to be Christians and claim to be what should be people of the book, we don't even know what it says. We got no idea what it means. That's why you can go out and knock on doors. That's why you can get out and knock on doors and talk to people and ask them, look, if you were to die, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? And you'll have a multitude of people that will say to you, yeah, I believe I would. I think I would. Well, then go one step further and ask them why. In the years that I've done that, I don't think I've had this many people give me a Bible answer. And we live in the Bible Belt. But we've ignored this book. We've ignored this book. People tell you, well, you know, I'm a good person. I don't know how many times people say, I'm a good person. I try to do my best, try to treat other people right. All that's good stuff. I'll be honest, I love the people to tell me that. Because then I come along and I say, well, why did Jesus die? And then it's amazing. They'll say, well, he died for our sins. And I say, no, he must not have. Because you just said you're going to heaven, not because of what he did, but because of what you're doing. What you're doing. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we live in a day where people that profess the name of Christ ignore this book. Ignore this book. Look, you and I must submit to it. We must submit to it. I said to you, it is to govern the affairs of God's people, but it doesn't unless we submit to it. Unless we submit to it. There is nobody that comes along, knocks you on your door and said, okay, we're checking up. We saw you the other day, and what you did violated the Word of God. Has anybody knocked on your door lately and said that? I'm not going to ask you how many be deeply offended if they did. Preacher, I wouldn't like that. No, you wouldn't. But we have to submit to this book. We have to submit to this book. Hey, look, if it is everything that we've said it is tonight, this is the book we ought to love. This is the book we ought to love. Because it's the book that tells us how to get to heaven. It tells us how to get to heaven. You can't trust people to tell you. You can only trust what God says. You can only trust what God said, because a lot of people will add all kinds of things to help you, try to get you to heaven. You got to do this and this and this and this and this. No, you just got to do what God says. You just got to do what God says. Hey, we ought to love this book. We ought to love this book, and we ought to read it. If we love it, we ought to read it. Said, preacher, we hear this all the time. Okay, do you read it all the time? Are we reading it? Okay. Just a reminder, I'm not mad at anybody. I want to encourage you, okay? I want to encourage you. Let's read this book. Let's read it. If we read it and study it, we're not going to be deceived when a Jehovah's false witness knocks on our door and says, I want to talk to you about the kingdom.
Amen.
We're not going to be deceived by that crowd.
Amen.
We're not going to buy into their deal when they tell you hell's just the grave. You're not going to buy that because the Bible says very plainly it's a whole lot different than that. A whole lot different than that. Hey, you're not going to be deceived by those two well-dressed individuals that show up at your door with a bunch of literature and want to talk to you about the Mormon church. You're not going to be deceived by them. Why? Because you've read your book. You know what the Bible says. You know where it says you add to it. God will add to the curses on you, all right? And so we're not going to buy into all that business. Hey, we've got to read it. But man, we absolutely must heed it. We've got to read, but we have to heed. A lot of people read the street signs, but they don't heed them. They don't heed them. We read those traffic signs. We read them, but we don't heed them. I really think most drivers know that if you've got a solid white line, you break the law when you cross that. You're breaking the law. If the policeman pulls you over and gives you a ticket, don't get mad at him. You broke the law, okay? And those of you that are trying to, you know, jump the lane there before, there's two white lines coming together to make one white line because this lane and this one are merging and you cross all of them. I want to get a jump on it. You're breaking the law. Hey, we know too many times we know what the Bible says. But we don't heed it. We don't heed it. Therefore, it does you no good. It does you no good. All it does then is makes you guilty. You know, we're not going to be able to stand before God and say, now, Lord, I didn't know. I just didn't know. Now, how good is that going to work? He's going to say, gave you the book. You had a copy of it at your house. You had a copy of it at your house. It got stuck somewhere. It got buried. It got buried under all the newspapers and all the this and that and the knickknacks of the world. You got up to go to church one day. You couldn't even find it in order. You had to leave at home because we're out of time. We're going to be late church anyway. Just somebody will have one at church. And people come to the house of God without a Bible. Boy, isn't that crazy? Why? Well, we've got a copy of it. When's the last time you read it? I've got one at my house. It's still in the box. Okay? It's still in the box. If you open it up, there may still be pages that are still stuck together. I've had it for 40 years. He said, why is it still in the box? Because I never took it out. That's why. Now, that's not the only one I've got. But with some people, it is. They got one as a gift, maybe Christmas. And it's sitting in a shelf. Never been read. We're going to be accountable to God for that. Hey, listen to you. Listen to me tonight. We found the book. All of everything we said is true about it. But let's make sure without fail that we read it, we submit to it, we give heed to what it says, and it affects our life. It affects our life 24/7. Every day of your life. It affects you when you're on the highway driving. And you get mad. Because that moron did what that moron did. But you're still accountable. You know better. You know better. Hey, it affects you. You're down there at the grocery store. You're at Walmart, all right? And the line is long and it's moving slow and you're aggravated and you get put out and everything and the person gives you the wrong change, you know? Or you go to the bank the way I've done on numerous occasions and I go through the drive-thru, send my deposit in, want to get a little cash back. They send me a slip out with no cash. Send it back. Said, hey, what about my cash? Hey, what about? Yeah. Hopefully we don't do it like that, okay? You with me? This book, it governs our life. It's the greatest book there is. None like it. But if we're not heeding it, if we're not reading it, hey, if we don't read it, we don't know how to heed it, okay? Just don't. God help us, okay? God help us. We've got the book. Let's don't lose it. Let's don't lose it. Just don't let it be lost. If Brother Mosley drops dead, okay, this week, and somebody else comes to pastor the church, don't you let them get up here and not preach you the book.
Amen.
Don't you let them do that. And say, well, it's so-and-so, and I really like him. He's just a wonderful person. I don't care how much you like him. Don't you let him get up here and not preach you the book.
Amen.
Don't you let that happen. You say, man, we really like you, and we'll see you later, but we're going to have somebody else pastor the church. Don't allow that to happen. Don't allow that to take place. This is the book of God. We've found the book. Let's not turn loose of it, okay? Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. Lord, just trying to preach a simple message about the Word of God, but it's so important. And it's easy for us to take it for granted. It's easy for us to let it slip. Lord, we look back here at this time in Israel and hear the people that were people of the book, and yet they had lost the book of God. But they needed to hear from heaven. And Lord, we need to hear from heaven every day. Lord, help us to love this book. Help us to read it. But Lord, above all, help us to heed what it says. To submit our lives to it. Lord, to just give it the place it ought to have in our life, to honor it, to love it, because, Lord, we realize one of these days we're going to be judged by this book. It's going to judge us. Lord, help us to be what we ought to be because we are people of the book. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand tonight? Listen, we have invitation time.